Insecurity is not a simple perception or merely a mental delusion caused by paranoia. Today, Ecuador is witnessing the highest level of violence recorded in its history. The country is located in the northwest corner of South America and shares borders with Colombia to the north and Peru to the east. It has a medley of cultures. Its population, mainly people of Spanish descent and Native Americans, stands at around 14.5 million. Throughout its contemporary history, Ecuador has been ruled by presidents, military leaders, and dictators. The country's constitution states that Ecuador is a sovereign, unitary, democratic, multicultural, multi-ethnic, and secular state under the rule of law.
For an Ecuadorian, daily life outdoors means knowing and accepting all risks that are likely to occur. The current level of public insecurity, violence and crime is a concern of most of the residents of this country.
It is often said that life in undeveloped and developing countries is not the same anymore. Until 10 or 15 years ago, people could freely walk on the streets and visit places they liked. But now it is dangerous, or better to say, full of risks. This is an often heard sentiment in the countries and cities across Asia, Europe, and the Americas.
It can be said that crime issues stem from how we perceive them. In other words, people do not generally have an accurate understanding of insecurity, violence, and crime. Ultimately, these issues leave behind their negative impact. Of course, it seems like saying that people are crazy and talking on the basis of hearsay or are simply daydreaming.
There is conclusive evidence for my conviction that crime rates in Ecuador and in Latin America in general has increased over the past decade. In other words, the fear that exists in the public is genuine and can be explained on the basis of available evidence. But well, the question is, why do we think what has happened to others will likely happen to us too? It depends very much on the nature of the crime. In other words, when we think of a crime as a type of score settling, when we are told that person X has to be killed due to a fight among rival gangs engaged in organized crime, we do not feel someone or something is threatening us. I have had nothing to do with what these criminals did. Then what has happened to person X will only happen to him alone and to no one else. However, when I am told about a burglary, then person X can include me as well. And as a result, this phenomenon makes it possible to imagine myself as a potential victim of the crime.
De probabilidad. Y identificarnos como posibles víctimas, digámoslo así, ¿no?
Ecuador es el problema que la gente tiene miedo.
This anxiety is a problem that all of the people in Ecuador are suffering from, and I believe this is in part a feature of modern societies where people live in fear. The huge amount of information that you receive creates a kind of unreasonable anxiety in you. One of the things that causes individuals the most anxiety is the fear of losing control over themselves. This loss of control occurs when you basically dwell on a particular problem too much and for too long, when you at one point of time think about all the various problems that might happen, not just the daily problems that occur in your life or the life of your family, but also about what your wife or son might be doing now, about your father, mother, and all sorts of other things.
There was a time when people thought of their homes as a safe haven, a place where they could take refuge from all hostilities and conflicts on the streets. Crime has wrecked all aspects of social and public life in the most barbaric manner. Nowadays, security is a luxury that not everyone can afford.
Security devices, commonly known as personal protective equipment, PPE, have us believe that it can be safe as long as I acquire these devices. In other words, the functions of the government and what the government can do take second priority. And I get the impression that I take care of myself, provided that I avail myself to the security devices on the market. What I see is a huge political problem, and I think all these problems are caused by governments themselves. As the backbone of the country, the government is the only authority in the society that can use power. It is the only body that can make use of violence for the social interests. What the current policy does is to gradually encourage privatization of the services provided by the personal security and protection agencies, and in some cases, exploitation of the violences by these agencies for financial gains. In Ecuador, private guards are licensed to carry firearms. Police forces are even instructed on the rules on how to use various firearms. These rules contain wide-ranging details on the protection of the rights of individuals in society, such as force continuum, which allows for incremental use of force during an arrest, for example. Private guards, however, do not have this discipline. The question of whether or not to fire one's weapon to protect a residence or a neighborhood is a very sensitive one. The logic behind having a government is to eliminate exploitation of the violence for personal interests so that the government can contain violence and protect the public's rights and properties, something that it has been tasked to do. New cities have been popped up, which are surrounded by high rises and security walls. This has caused a variety of problems, the most important of which is disunity in the community, public distrust of each other, loss of the sense of citizenship, and public spaces, etc. The problems that these issues have created lie right in the heart of the covert security programs. All these problems are serious and require extensive analysis. On the question of security, people feel secure based on how much they can pay for their security. For this reason, social differences and classes are made on the type and amount of security people can enjoy. People can buy themselves security services, and the extent to which they can utilize these services depends on the purchasing power from the security market. This way, people feel safer. This is a social deviance because security is no longer viewed as a right but a commodity. With security turning into a commodity, everything will depend on market fluctuations and the resultant effects will lead to the ruin of society.
Bastante perverso, digámoslo así.
Community becomes a place where people just live in, but never unite, never live together, etc. Obviously, it will not have a good impact on the social policies adopted. Separating individual members of a society doesn't necessarily lead to, well, we feel secure, but at the same time are confused about social definitions, whether this is a bourgeois society or a modern or an intellectual one. They have watchdogs, security cameras, locks, weapons, all sorts of security equipment. But when asked if they feel secure, the answer is no. No, because the social situation is deteriorating by every passing moment. I think that every day more and more people turn to using these services. All of these security measures cause acute paranoid delusion among people. More and more people carry weapons every day, people who are armed to the teeth. They turn into people who store weapons, people who keep guns in the house. This is all related to the disease of acute paranoid delusion about security concerns. Furthermore, these elements interact with one another and at the same time connect with all the phenomena of crime, violence, etc. What this entails is weaker link and less communication with the society around. People grow more distant from each other and confine themselves to their private housing complexes. In fact, it creates a sense of public distrust among people, right? And this sense of distrust creeps into every aspect of their life. Crime prevention comprises strategies and measures that seek to reduce the risk of crimes occurring. And I believe many social factors come into play in this effort. Social policies, educational policies, manufacturing sector policies, etc. Some prevention methods depend on the existing situation. You designate special places, have security cameras installed, all in an attempt to reduce the likelihood of criminal activities occurring, just like a prison. But the police methods of prevention sometimes get more complex, because occasionally I face a fait accompli, a riot or a chaotic situation. Here the reactions to these situations are moral and biological. Police operations such as patrolling are essentially preemptive in nature and concerned with petty offences.
Crimes have introduced fear and panic to the Ecuadorian society. The deteriorating security situation has forced intelligence agencies, which were previously involved in dealing with more urgent issues, to join executive and more effective groups.
Kidnapping, drug trafficking, these comprise a category of crimes that increases the demand for security services, and the supply of such services is proportionate to the demand for them in the society. This tends to create a sense of dilemma in you and blinds your reason. These are your answers to different kinds of fears. First of all, nowadays, even police are panic-stricken because they are the first body tasked with handling these public fears. Essentially, we must begin with the issue of criminal offence, especially because this issue by nature causes a social crisis. Let's discuss the issue at a more local level. For example, the type of police force that we have, the type of response the government has given to the current level of demand for security. It should be noted that demand for security doesn't translate into security itself.
In Ecuador, there are some gang groups that trade in illicit drugs at a small scale and sell mainly on the street corners, and there are major drug trafficking cartels which engage in smuggling and distribution of illegal drugs in other countries. We have some criminal groups that take part in illicit activities of various sorts. Some of them are involved in typical yet organized criminal activities. 7 months ago, we established the Rewards for Wanted Persons program. We have people who have been engaged in criminal activities across the country for the past 10, 15, or 20 years. We have been able to detain between 30 to 40 of them. How long do you think they spend in prison after their arrest? 10 days, 15 days, 1 month or 2 months, but not more than that. They have never been punished. What we would like to see is these horrible criminals apprehended and punished for their crimes.
Muchas de las políticas que se toman miran el problema de manera estereotipada.
Many politicians look at the issue in a cliché manner, and therefore the responses we get from them are cliché. Responses such as how much police patrol there should be, how much funds should be allocated to buying police forces the weapons they need, how much funds should be allocated to buying police forces the gear and vehicles they need to respond more effectively. But what's the problem now? What happens if one of those criminal groups is back on the streets, fully trained and ready for everyday street fights? Well, that is okay, but it is sure to create work for other departments. In other words, I should be able to prove the crime for which I arrest an individual, whatever that crime might be, and for this I need a crime lab which helps me produce documents that reveal the crime of that individual to the judge. Otherwise, what I have is just a group patrolling the streets and detaining people who will never appear before a judge or be put on trial. Well,
que atrapa mucha gente y que nunca va a ser juzgada.
Las cárceles de Ecuador no hacen más. Ecuador's prisons do nothing but worsen the situation. They don't function as rehabilitating centers, but as places where violence is encouraged and even institutionalized among offenders. These are the same people who get more violent and more dangerous once they are released back onto the streets, much more than they were before they were arrested and put in prison.
Ecuador's justice systems definitely need a serious overhaul. We're not talking about changing the laws and legal tools only, or about the use of technological instruments to effectively supervise our judges. We are talking about the behavior that is expected of judges. Judges must feel they ought to know that it is the people of Ecuador who are the principal reference point for assessing their behavior. This should be the starting point of discussing the new structure of the judicial system.
¿No es cierto? Podemos nosotros comenzar a hablar de una nueva estructura del sistema judicial.
La manera en cómo se enfrenta.
How do we deal with crime nowadays? Many support the theory of using punitive measures. How should we deal with criminals? Should we punish them? We can offer and imagine no other response than punishment to resolve the problem. With the rising crime rate, the past 20 years alone has seen sharp increase in the prison population compared to the general population. In fact, resorting to punitive measures to solve social problems is a new phenomenon. In other words, we try to make up for the inefficiency in solving political problems, in resolving conflicts and in creating social peace by putting more police on the streets and building more courts and prisons. I must say that this is one of the most important and complicated global issues. Strict disciplinary policy is becoming more and more common, in a way that the higher the crime rate gets, the heavier the punishment for the crime ought to be. The problem is that more than a decade has passed since we began implementing policies based on penal populism, yet we have not seen a reduction in the crime rate.
Políticas de este populismo penal y las tasas no han bajado.
Sistema penal también.
Penal system has deteriorated over the years to the point of ruin, a system in which judges have turned to businessmen. And it has become absolutely obvious that criminals have turned into real leaders and they are vivid symbols of insecurity. If we want to establish a system that deters crime, a system that is responsive in itself and to itself, we must break the chain of impunity from punishment. This is the goal we claim to be after.
Ese es nuestro principal objetivo al momento.
La vía pública ocupa el primer lugar.
City streets among public places are where most attacks on people occur. Public transportation is turned into a new space where crimes of different sorts are committed.
Nuevo espacio donde perpetrar delitos.
In other words, if today they have provided you with the option of blocking someone on your cell phone, tomorrow they will steal your laptop computers or come up with new ways of robbing you. They used to rob people's homes when the occupants were away, but now they enter homes with the occupants in and steal their valuables using threats and torture. So crime is a highly volatile issue, and it is clear that it is on its path towards perfection. This is an issue in which culture and new ways of theft, learned from outside, play a role.
What has happened to Adora police and judicial system is that they have adapted themselves to international mechanisms and norms of fighting crimes, and instead of addressing social crises, they have engaged themselves with the problem of drugs. That is why very effective police units, consisting of trained and well-funded forces, equipped with the necessary technology, have emerged. In terms of manpower and technology, these units form the rich sections of the police departments. This problem is evident in the judicial system too. The judicial system is also ineffective, but not so much when it comes to fighting drug trafficking. For instance, if someone carrying more than the legal limit of cocaine is apprehended, there is a strong possibility that he or she is tried and handed down a prison sentence.
Es muy probable que sea sancionada y juzgada y encarcelada.
A crime that has grown widespread among the public, one which you can fight by even rehabilitation and cultural awareness programs, is express kidnapping, a crime which accounts for a large proportion of the violence we are witnessing these days. Everything, everyone, rich and poor, people from the upper to middle, to lower social classes of the society, of every color or race, people with any characteristics that you can imagine can fall prey to express kidnapping, and in a number of different ways, while driving or with a telephone call, without you even seeing the predator. For example, you get a call to go to a particular store or even a store, or they keep you in a perpetual state of anxiety. They may give you a phone number and ask you to call that if you want your son back. Then they do a quick inquiry and find out that your son was not kidnapped at all, and that was a simple crank call. In fact, the community we live in it, people of raw character lead such a life. Moreover, many of them confess that it is how they go about living their life.
In express kidnapping, what they do to the victims is to have them so desperate that all they wish for is to have their life spared. The victims are willing to give up everything they own, their belongings, their savings, to rescue themselves because they know they might not see life again. The few hours that the victims are held by their kidnappers can have very bad emotional consequences, and these problems will not go away within a matter of several months. Some people are scared for a very long time. After such an experience, the victim's life will change drastically. He refuses to go out and so on. In other words, the adverse consequences do not disappear that quickly. This kind of crime inflicts serious trauma upon the victims. One of the most commonly used techniques in express kidnapping is the use of ATM machines. Without this kind of service, express kidnapping would have to go back to the traditional way of doing business. Express kidnapping would then be a pretty simple and mundane way of committing crime. So this is an interesting case because the ATMs are tools which serve the consumer's needs. I should note that we have all experienced the need for cash at certain points of time, or at a particular place, and access to the ATMs seem indispensable in those situations. But the same machines are now used for criminal purposes too. A contradiction now arises between civil rights, freedom and economic transactions that are carried out by these machines, and all the risks associated with them.
Y los riesgos que se corren a partir de estos dispositivos que facilitan las transacciones económicas, ¿no?
La banda autora del asesinato el pasado 2 de septiembre del empresario quiteño Francisco Espinosa fue detenida. Los apresados responden a los nombres de Flores Zarzosa César Alfonso, de nacionalidad ecuatoriana, Arenas Ortiz Dreyson Andrés, de nacionalidad colombiana, Correa Cárdenas Ferney, de nacionalidad colombiana, Ubate Peña John Felipe.
Well, the issue of contract killers, sicarii, depends primarily on the conflicts of an illegitimate and illegal economy are resolved. In other words, in the illegitimate and illegal economy, conflicts cannot be resolved through legal channels, given the nature of this type of economy, since these conflicts cannot be resolved through legal means. The only remaining option is for people to take the law into their own hands.
The only difference between contract killers and murderers is that the contract killers receive money for their services. But in fact, both the actual killer and the person who paid the killer can be found guilty of murder. In recent years, the country's brutal murder rates have increased greatly. One of the causes for this increase is the prevalence of organized crime, especially drug trafficking in the country. Contract killers kill with two or more shots. But the signature of professional killers is generally one shot to the head and two shots in the chest. It is obvious that even one shot in the leg could make one die from severe bleeding. However, contract killers always pick the fail-proof way. The only thing they want is just to kill you. Last year, for example, when I was in charge of doing the surveys on crimes, all the crimes nationwide and 15% of the crimes committed in the city of Quito were carried out by contract killers.
All the drug trafficking cartels have their own network of contract killers. The problem begins when these networks splinter from the cartels, gaining independence and ultimately providing their own services. This means that I can have access to these services, even if I am involved in a conflict that has nothing to do with drugs or drug trafficking. I can also employ their services in other conflicts as well, such as setting a personal score with someone. These services have become available to drug traffickers as well as ordinary people.
We, the people of Ecuador, must adapt ourselves to this new dynamic wave, a more violent, more dangerous, and more unpredictable city. We hope that the government and judicial officials take control of the situation in the future. Violence is not a problem only on the streets. It's a menace threatening a new person every day. We hope that the Ecuador returns to what it once was, a country full of history, culture, traditions, and decent life.